Next submitter on my list before afternoon tea, Mervyn and Judy Clifford. Captain, welcome. Now, we've read your original submission, so you don't need to read that out to us. But you're very welcome to speak to that submission and highlight key points for us.
Yeah. Welcome. Good afternoon to the panel. My name's Mervyn Clifford, as you know. I farm 310 hectares near Waikaka, just southwest, in partnership with my wife, Judy Ann. On the third generation of part of the farm, and hopefully in a couple of years or even less, my son will take over and make the fourth generation. So we are quite passionate, we want to keep going. 310 hectares consists of river flats running right up to some steeper rolling country with some pretty steep gullies in. It has, five or maybe seven of those physiatric zones, depends how you call it, because they're pretty hard to understand. There's a heap of them anyway. And it's in four separate titles. Three of them are actually three different farms. So one of my questions is, how does that actually affect us? You know, make rules, farmers are pretty clever at getting around them, but we'll come back to the questions later on. Well, we only farm sheep at the present point of time. In the future, we may want to change our farming practices to stay economical. And to me, this plan that we're proposing and we're going to have to go with by the sound of it, could make that very difficult to change our operations. And it also takes away our freedom from doing what we want with our land. We actually own it, I thought. But by the sound of it, some of our options will be taken away. And we need to be economical, so we do need to change and go with the times. I've read quite a few of the submissions through the computer when I get it going right. And most of us agree that we need to look after the waterways and perhaps improve them by, this is the part, all industry, councils, even the government, and farmers. This plan seems to really attack the farmers, not the rest of the ones there. And especially, I'm not even a dairy farmer. They seem to be picked on pretty badly too. I don't generally stick up for them either, but never mind. Well, like most of the most feel, the proposed plan is too restrictive, complex to understand, and not very practical to farm within the rules, and, you know, stay within some of those rules. Well, last year I had a visit from a little plane up there. Next minute we had a visit from a person just from Environment South and arrived on the property, and no telephone call, no nothing. Drove around the farm, had a look, left some photographs. Please ring me. I wasn't very impressed. I still haven't actually had the proper outcome, but I have followed up and I haven't had a fine, so I must be right. Now it was good to, I found another part of the computer, was the panel had a lot of questions for the author. It was pretty technical, your questions. They weren't just straight farming ones, but it was good to actually see humans had questions. How did you get on with the answers to them?
The answers are on the webpage as well.
I find the computer on the page is here one day, and then it disappears on me. I'm sorry, I'm not very computer literate.
You afterwards, when we break for afternoon tea, if you talk to two of our assistants there, they will copy for you, not now, and then post to you the answers to those questions.
Oh, that would be quite good.
Yeah, no, that's
thank
no
you.
Problem.
Where are we up to? I love public speaking. Oh, you got your answers. My submission consists only of the five rules that affect us the most.
Yeah.
But most of these rules actually do affect us a lot, but I don't know. I love bookwork and reading, which makes it pretty hard. But it's sort of where to start and where to stop. Like, there's been a lot of submissions that I've heard today already that have gone into more of them, which are really good. And that's it's no use going over them all time and time again. But main thing is, I plead to the hearing panel to think about what has happened in the past with SNAP, complex, costly legislation. Like one of them, quite a few years ago, the gun licences, they changed that, what happened? RMA, health and safety. And where has this actually led us to? All I can say is the lawyers are getting pretty rich. You know, and even with health and safety one, I still worry the day we have an accident on the farm. I've got bookwork there, I keep up to date, try to, but I know in court it won't be good enough. And I feel this plan is going to do this exact same the way it's written. I feel a better way to go is actually educate, not eradicate, and find a practical way through this plan. Like, I've had a couple of goes of the environment settlement. I don't know if, I can't submit this today, but I don't know if you've seen one of these plans. It's a pretty good starting point, and I feel there's a lot of information in there. It's within the rules and regulations, but it's a guide to help me start from somewhere. I feel that's actually an improvement. That's education. It's not, hey, do this. So, yeah, we'll work that way. And I feel the environment Southland, they've got the tools to do it, they've proved it, is get off the butt, spend some of that money helping us farmers, educate us. And you'll get farmers will hop on board. Instead of going down with consents, legal fees, having to do maps for this, find your tile drains, which I hope you guys are pretty good at doing that because I'm not going to find many of them. And all the consents we need. Farmers are pretty practical people, and we need practical, workable, sensible, cost-efficient plans to improve our waterways, even the airways, for the up-and-coming future generation. I know you can't do it, but I suggest the plan actually be used as good farm management practices for the next 5 to 10 years. So we actually get it right, because legislation's pretty hard to change once it's in place. You know, they're even trying to repeal the RMA now. Well, this, to me, we're going down the same way. I know we're tied up with government, saying to you guys what we've got to do, but can you guys try and be the real big noise for us? And it's not just the farmers that are involved here. It's industry, it's the councils. What are they doing? You know, we've all got to work together for the same thing, for the next generations coming up. But I think I've waffled on probably enough. The only other part here was, I wrote in my submission, was, I sort of did it reasonably, but I was quite a bit out, was fencing. I know it's the waterways again that we can't do much with, but it's not practical to fence all the waterways. Okay, we're only sheep at the moment, but where the, well, I call it a river. It's only a wee stream, by a lot of people call it, the Waikaka River. I know it's quite a few years ago, but the amount of fences that floods ripped out and left these great big strand of posts in the middle of paddocks, it was probably 2 years before we got it back. We actually changed a lot of the fences away from the river, so that now we have drop down fences, blah, 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 too. Now, really, I've got to go back and take those fences back there. So will the government or somebody, Environment Southland, come and help me repair these fences? Because I know fencing's not bad straight. New fencing's not bad. Trying to repair that stuff, that's beautiful. Thistles. And like, as I said, 2 years. Okay, we had two floods sort of pretty close, and that was quite a few years ago. But we've had to, it has helped by changing the fences away. But as I say, I've only done five, had a wee crack at five of them. Like, I could have been there for weeks. But I'm afraid I quite enjoy farming, and I want to get out there and do it. Perhaps with the next generation, hopefully. And not end up in court. Or that threat over my head the whole time of court action, which I had last year, which I didn't appreciate. But we've got to say yes sir, no sir to them, so I didn't get a fine. But that's where that plan came from, because I asked questions. Yep. And that is the way to go, not all these rules and regulations. So, I've had to say, I've had this whinge. And, so thank you for listening and...
That's fine. We'll see if we have any questions for you.
Yeah, just a couple of questions. I noticed you're asking more clarification around ponds and lakes.
Yeah, well, it's sort of been answered, but yeah.
But I just note that there are others here that you made that.
Yeah.
Also, you raised the issue of multiple physiographic zones.
Yeah.
Is the plan clear in your view how to manage multiple physiographic zones in a farming operation?
There's nothing.
Clarity.
There's nothing in that plan. It just says where they are, the different soil types, but there's nothing there to say how to manage it.
So you'd like the farm plan to be clearer?
Yeah, like this is an ongoing document. I've worked with Carol to bring it up. I couldn't present it today or anything because he's only managed to move away, managed to get it to us, and we're too late. I've read through it, gone through it. There's still quite a bit more we can add to it, and he's asked me to, you know, sit down and do some bedtime reading, get back to him, but time is a factor. And yeah, I will start and work with it. Like, it shows us the amount of fencing that, the amount of waterways we've got, he said, was quite astonishing. It's 13 kilometres of waterways on the property. Here we are. There's 3.5 kilometres totally fenced, both sides. There's 4.5 that are only fenced on one side, and there's another 5.5 to be done on both sides, going by the plans. As I said, some of that river stuff I can't do. Like, I won't. I'll go to court. I'll go to clink, because will somebody come and pull it, fix it for me when it goes down the river? Because that's not nice. But what we try and do is work within it, because we're only sheep at the moment. Cattle fences aren't quite so bad. 2 wires keep them off most of the time. But once you get into sheep, it's totally different. And if we don't, like, the stuff that I've fenced both sides, there's just wallow. We travel with gorse, broom and wallows. Fishermen really love us, but bad luck. But there's certain areas of the river we can, the high sides, but a lot of our stuff is quite lower side, and it's just not practical. So I think the way to go is education of we do what we can. I don't know how we do that. We've got to put it into good farm management practices. I think that's the key words.
And my last point is really compliance. You mentioned about compliance. Obviously, and what you quoted was there was a flyover with a follow-up, but you didn't connect afterwards to understand what the concerns were.
Well, they just arrived. I was pretty peeved off. They just arrived. No telephone call or anything, they were coming. The only reason I knew they were there is my son picked up some photographs that Woolshed dropped off of a sign. No, ring me. So that was a pretty sleepless night. And they didn't even, like, when I informed them, this was in August, well, my biosecurity at that stage of the year, knowing it's on my property because of Brandenburg and different diseases. And I asked her, and she had no idea of what it was. And I was pretty angry, but I bowed and said yes, sir, and no, sir, because I didn't want to fight. I'm still pretty peeved off about it, but we've got to move on.
I think you've raised the points, and points have been well made, so thank you for that.
Yeah, in your, I don't know, 3 or 4 decades of farming, do you know of anybody who should not be farming or should have some rules put around them so that they behave environmentally a bit better?
I don't want to finger point because we're in this together.
I'm not asking you to name people. I'm asking you about the principle of some people who either shouldn't be farming or should have some rules around how they operate.
Perhaps some of the high intensity farming of inputs, whether we've got to question some of that, what's going in, right, to what's coming out. But I think it's point of source, like some of the others admitted, is start at the coast, we've got a figure there, and work up and see, like, go. I don't want to point a finger at a town either. Start below a town, above a town. Start below a farm, above a farm. So even like industry or taking out timber forestry and that, get an idea where it's coming from instead of going, you're all the same.
I think you've answered the question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Clifford. The streams or waterways that you're fencing, is that principally Waikato, or is it, does it include tributaries?
Tributaries, mainly there's part of it's the Waikato and other parts is just waterways. Well, it's defined as waterways on our farm, which are, I don't know how you call them. They're just ditches, like some of the, especially the low stuff is quite flat, and I have a problem with one of the other issues in there. I've only been able to clean them every 5 years. Well, those real flat ones silk up really quick, and if they're probably not cleaned out, even at say a 2 year period, just a little bit, keep at them. Next minute, the water level's above the tiles, so that's all that expense is gone putting the tiles in, so we're blocked up.
So
it's a bit of everything.
Yeah, so which ones are the ones that flood and rip out your fences? Is it the
Waikato? It's mainly the Waikato River, yes.
So
yes.
That's a long, feeds big catchment?
It's not a big river. It's probably, I think, offhand, I did write it down there. Somewhere I reckon it would be roughly about 4 km of that.
What I'm really getting at is
perhaps
different approaches to different.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at, being the practical way of doing things. Hey, there's places we can do, let's do them, but the places that we can't, we've got to deal with, say, electric fencing during winter or something to keep them back off a wee bit, but we've got to keep on top of those weeds around the river.
Yeah,
there's quite a few onto that. Yeah, carry on.
And does that
incur,
or does that cause you to have significant problems with that type of land, or is it not, because it's got a lot of clay there?
Yeah, there can be clay. That's tied up with the coal mines up in one block. But there is other stuff around there too. It can get a bit wet. It's sort of got a... Some of it's quite, you got your topsoil, then it is quite hard clay. It sits on top, so you got to watch runoff and stuff like that. We have some, they're called, say, called duck ponds. I suppose we've got to fence them off too, but they're just mine entrances, quite deep waterways. Well, they're not a waterway, they're just a wee duck pond, really. But we'll get around to fencing them too, probably. We'll have to. But that's just more costs. But this plan here is a great thing for that. It's shown us the places to fence, the best bang for your buck to start with anyway. Somebody to start a good starting point. Yeah, it's a good starting point. It's got me off probably the angry bit to start with was environment section, but yeah, there's a long way to go with it. But there's a lot of things in that plan that they're not practical. I don't know how you work it to be that word practical to continue. But I hope that's it.
Thank you very much for coming in. I don't have any further questions, but I can assure you that as part of our job, we're well aware of the need to make policies and rules easy to understand and practical. So that's at the forefront of our mind.
Thank you very much for listening.
Just want to check the submitters who are scheduled to appear after afternoon tea if they're here or not. William Smith?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Luke Templeton. Darren and Jenny Wing. Great. So we're going to break for afternoon tea now. We'll come back at 3:15.